the theme really of the whole letter is about the supremacy of Christ and how awesome Jesus Christ is. So it's a fantastic letter. And Toe started us off last week with the first couple of verses, and so I'm going to continue on. So let me just pray. Lord, we just thank you for your wonderful words that are written in the Bible for us, Lord, to glean from and to learn, to allow them to go deep into our spirits, to take hold and take root and bear fruit. And so, Lord, as we go through this book of Colossians, or this letter of Colossians, Lord, would you, Holy Spirit, Lord, we just give you absolute permission to plant your seeds of goodness, of power, of provision, of a transformation of revelation into our very souls, Lord, that they would take root and that they would do the work that you intend for them to do. So we give you this time and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. So to start off, the thing I love about Scripture is it's so profoundly practical. And one of the questions I thought it really helps to answer is this one about being a friend. Just the next slide. So these questions, I wonder if they ever come to mind for you. What first impression do you make? How would others describe you? Does it matter to you what impression you make? What do you think makes a good impression on others? I think for the most part, for us, we would say making a good impression matters to us. We kind of want people to think nice things about us. Well, I know I do, and I think most of us do. I think it also depends maybe what setting we're going into. If you're going to a job interview, for instance, I think you really want to make a good impression. Maybe you're meeting your teacher at school for the first time and you want them to think that you are a good student and you're going to do everything they ask you to. Or you're meeting the parents of someone that you care about. I guess at this picture too, it sort of shows that often the first impression we make is a bit of an external one about how people appear. And, you know, in 1 Samuel in the Old Testament, God spoke to the prophet Samuel and said, yeah, humans are like that. We look at the outside. They're the things we're going to pick up first. But God looks at our heart. So in terms of making a good impression, the thing I really remember is about marrying Toe. I'd already made a good impression on him, so that was okay. But so in the first month of our marriage, we were going back to Malaysia and we were going to stay with his family. Now, Toe was the first Asian man I'd ever met. So obviously in profound shock, I just said I do when he asked me after several times. So. And just had to put that in there. But he's very persistent. Anyway, so of course I'd never been to any Asian country and here I was going off to meet his family and not only that, live with them for 4 weeks. So I had no idea what was in store and got complete culture shock. But apparently I got told by the end of my month there that I was their favourite daughter-in-law. And I think probably what helped with that was that six brothers. So there's a few daughters-in-law. I had some competition. I had competition. And they'd known them for a long time, and this is the first time. But I think what probably helped was I couldn't speak a word of their dialect and they didn't speak English. So all I could do was walk in a room and just smile. So I always looked very happy. Whatever they did was obviously always okay with me because they wouldn't know anything else. Little did they know. But that was fine. So good. No arguments. So it was good. So I made a good impression. That was the time when I wanted to make a good impression. So when we look at getting back to our verses today, the church at Colossae had made a really great impression on Paul. And so I think it's helpful for us to think, well, what constitutes a good impression? We can find some answers in these verses. Good. So let's look at the next slide. This is the first part of the Colossian letter that we're looking at today. So, starting at chapter 1, verse 3, we always thank God, this is Paul speaking, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, and our dear fellow servant, who was a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. So Epaphras was the guy that had been ministering to the church in Colossae and had gone to Paul to tell him about what these people were like. So obviously Epaphras gave a really positive report, and Paul is now feeding back to them what he has heard. And three things that really stand out for Paul and that he speaks about is their faith, their love, and their hope. So these are the things that really impressed him about them. And Paul is saying this well aware. No, keep going. Paul is saying this well aware that, there are trials in life, and he himself is writing this letter while he is under house arrest, and it says he's in chains. And he also knows that they're going through a bit of a stressful time as well, because there are some false teachers, people who are talking about what they say is the gospel but isn't really, and are sowing in some lies and bringing confusion to them, which is a stressful thing. But he's saying, even in the midst of this, it's obvious about your faith, your love, and your hope. And Paul is saying your faith is in something concrete. It's not airy-fairy. I've heard that your faith is, in fact, in Christ Jesus. That you know that he has come to this earth with great authority as the Son of God. That he lived, that he died on the cross, bearing all of your sin, providing full forgiveness and rising to new life, so that you now can live as new creations. You know that your faith is in something concrete, and it's steady and unwavering, even in the midst of your difficulties. Wow. I wonder if people would say that about me or you, you know, when we go through difficult times. Because, you know, in Malaysia, I didn't really say anything. But it's because, and they didn't really know how I was thinking, because scripture says that out of our mouth, our hearts speaks. So when people are around us, you know, we have these first impressions by what we see. But when we start talking about who we are, our situation, how we're feeling about that, we soon reveal what really is in our hearts. And Paul is saying for these people, when they speak and when they act, they're demonstrating they have a solid faith in Jesus. How do we act? Not always easy to do, but a wonderful challenge and a wonderful thing to consider about how we make an impression on others. If our hearts are filled with trust in God, in who God is and his goodness, what is going to flow out from us are more likely to be those words of faith and trust, that no matter what we're going through, we can have a positive view of now and what's to come. These people were also commended on their love, their consideration for others, that they were looking outward and not inward in their troubles, looking at ways to bless those around them. And not instead, when troubles come, to go into that survival mode where we just look inward, try and protect ourselves, because they knew that God was actually going to meet all their needs. And I know for me, it always so inspires me when I see someone that I know who is going through challenging times but actually goes out of their way to be a blessing to others. Does that? I'm sure you've seen that too. And it is so inspiring. It's wonderful. I love that. It speaks so much about that person. And this faith and love, as Paul has said, hinges or springs from hope. So we might look at the next slide. And again, this hope, he said, is a sure thing. That it's the hope of eternal life that Jesus has promised. That we have this eternal relationship with our beautiful God. So Colossians is all about the supremacy of Christ. When we have Christ in the right space in our life, it grounds us for life. Christ is supreme over all the universe, and we get to choose to have him as the bedrock for our life. And in this verse, it says that as we do that, we have an eternal living hope. And from that hope that doesn't waver despite what we're going through, that springing from that is the faith and the love that we get to experience and walk out and live out in our lives. So these Colossians have faith, they have love, and they have hope. And that's not a hope that is flimsy, but again, a hope that is founded on the concrete reality of who Jesus Christ is now to them through faith. Wow, they have made a massive impression just with those three qualities. But we can also do that because we know that Christ is real and that our love and our faith and our hope can be unwavering through any of our situations that we're going through. Paul goes on to bring more encouragement, and that is that there's the good news that they have believed in, that they do believe in, is circulating like wildfire in the present known ancient world at that time. And it's producing good and effective fruit. People's lives are being changed for the better, just like these Colossians. And wonderful news is that it's impacting lives today. And I was looking up today to see the reality of how amazing the truth of Jesus Christ is. And it's the dominant religion of the entire world. And once upon a time, I used to hear that the church was raging in the underground church of China, and now it's switching to places like Iran, that there are people coming to Jesus, and the churches are growing rapidly in places like Iran, where there is persecution. Just as there obviously is in China. So we can take great comfort too, as Paul is encouraging the Colossians. You know, you're believing in something that is powerful in transforming lives, and it still is today. Amazing. Praise the Lord for that. And interestingly, in this section, he finishes off commending them for their Christian love. Christian love that happens as they're empowered and strengthened by the Spirit. And Christian love can only happen with the Spirit. In fact, only love that is selfless, continual, can only happen through God and through His Spirit. A love that is given without any demand for what we get in return, without even wondering how the other person's going to respond. God's love keeps loving, doesn't it, and keeps giving. And it blows me away to know that God loved me amazingly, even when I didn't want to know him or didn't know him, rejected him, and is the same for the rest of the world. God loves and loves and loves. And when we don't love him back, it doesn't stop him. Are you a good friend? This letter also shows us what it looks like to be a good friend. What do you think are the hallmarks of a good friend? God's made us for relationships, and so it's really important that we know, isn't it, that we know how to impact with love, with Christian love, with friendship for people. And in the next part of Paul's letter, we see what true godly friendship looks like in the way that Paul speaks to these people. Let's read that. So going on from verse 9. So for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of sins. Paul is showing quite clearly that friendship that he has, a dear love he has for these people that he has never met. But he wants so much for their good. Since we have heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. Paul's heart of love is expressed through his prayers for him, even though he's not physically present to them. And his desire for them is that they would know God better, that this knowledge will permeate all of who they are so that they will live lives to please God. He wants so much for them because he knows from personal experience that the right understanding of God brings us into right relationship with God, which in turn brings fullness of life, freedom, peace and joy into their lives, and that their lives will show it in what they do, that they will have fruitful good works with the understanding that their good works are the fruit and not the root of a right relationship with God. Interesting, his desire for them, and I wonder as I was reading this, is this something that I want or I desire for friends, for my friends? Do you think about these things for your friends, that they would know God, that knowledge would permeate all that they are? Are we convinced that life will only be lived really well once our lives or our friends' lives are aligned with the truth of the gospel? How does that motivate us? What can you do to help your friends and family move toward this type of life if they're not walking with God or if they're far away? If that's our deep desire for our friends, for our family, what do we do? Do we want our friends, the ones that are dear to us, to actually grow spiritually? Are we looking out for evidence of this? How do we keep each other accountable? How do we bring the goodness of God into people's lives? And there are lots of ways we could do this. There are people that we know close to us that we can be praying for opportunity that we can do that. Or we might meet people that we don't really know that well. And I know one of those strategies for us, for Toe and I, is that we would go to restaurants or the same restaurant or the same coffee shop regularly all the time. And the staff really do get to know us. And then there's opportunity that we get to pray for them. One girl who was really stood out in my mind, she only about a month ago, and we were at one of our favourite spots, and she suddenly bounced in the room, and I was asking her a bit about herself, and she was just about to fly off for an overseas trip the very next day. And I was so just touched with her and her situation, and felt compelled. And I said, can I just pray with you? And so it was a great opportunity just to speak blessing and the goodness of God for her as she goes to who knows where. And she hasn't come back yet, so I'm waiting to see. But we don't know what impact we have. But we know as we experience the goodness in God of God in our lives, that we want to keep finding ways to bring that to other people. Our banners are usually up, and our vision is to our vision is to influence communities and impact nations. And how great it is that we can go and influence our communities by being a good friend, by introducing them to our best friend, Jesus, and to want the very best for them. So let's be thinking of strategies of bringing the reality of Jesus' love into our context as we live out our lives. Paul gives thanks to God because he recognises it's only because of God that any of this, of us walking with God, is possible, of us being able to impact other lives for him. But we can have great faith, can't we, that what is limited for us, what we think we can achieve, which we think in a limited way, for God nothing is impossible. And so the words we speak can be packages of God's power, of his goodness for others. Paul finishes his prayer with another solid fact, and that is that we're in the midst of a cosmic war. Of darkness versus light, and the light has overcome the darkness. And we live in this victory for ourselves through faith in Jesus Christ, that we too have been transferred from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. And that's already done for us as we put our faith in Jesus. Which we can celebrate. So what now? Let's give a great impression and be a source of joy for others through the demonstration of our faith. So let's just do the next click. Click. Yep. So let's make a great impression and let's consider what we might be able to do to do that. Let's consider how we might be strengthened in these areas this week. What can we start even today to grow in our faith, in our intimacy with Jesus? Maybe our understanding of Scripture so that it can take root into our lives. That we may be a source of joy for others as we display our faith and our love and our unwavering hope as we meet others this week. And how can we be good friends? The next click, please. So why don't we ask God today and now for someone that you know or even for a new contact to come into your path that you might be able to encourage them and to demonstrate God's goodness to them in some way. Maybe you like cooking. You might bake your neighbours some goodies that you want to give to them and let them know how much Jesus loves them. And how you might invite others into your space and into your story, because that's very powerful. I remember many years ago, nursing in the intensive care unit, and a young woman who was desperately living a painful life, had just committed suicide, and I was nursing her back to health. And I was profoundly impacted by Jesus, that he wanted so much for this young woman to live and to live well, and if she went home that she would commit suicide again. And so I invited her to come and stay with me when she left hospital that time. And that was literally bringing her into my space. But it was a profound experience for her that someone would trust her and love her, because she had lived as a prostitute, she was covered in tattoos, and no one gave her the time of day. And God was able to use that opportunity for her to discover who God is and how much she's loved by him. And that is a very extreme example. But there are so many ways that we can bring people into our homes for a meal, into our space, into our lives, share our stories, that we can bring the goodness of God to them. So let's just close in prayer. Lord, we thank you that your word speaks to us in such practical ways, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that for the example of the church in Colossae and the joy they gave to Paul through how they demonstrated in their lives their love for you, their faith and their hope, and the positive impact that made, Lord, in all that they did, and how that filtered through to people who hadn't even met them before. And Lord, help us, God, today, for all the things that we're going through. Lord, you know our hearts, you know our situation, and yet you call us to see beyond our circumstances, just as you, Jesus, could see beyond the suffering that was on the cross, to look beyond to a greater good, and that's us to be in relationship with you. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, that as we invite you into our circumstances, you help us to see beyond the now into the living hope that we have, and to the promises of God that never die, that never change, that you're always with us. And so thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have. And Lord, for those in our lives and those that we're yet to meet this week, would you show us how to be a good friend, to want the best? And the best is knowing you and knowing your life and knowing your goodness. So Lord, would you lead us this week? And Lord, as you prompt us, Lord, may we be quick to follow that prompting, to reach out, to speak, Lord, that others may come into a living hope with you. So we thank you for your faithfulness and goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. Can I have the worship team? Thanks, guys.